Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of...
Bromo Seltzer.
Tonight, Bromo Seltzer's Vox Pop travels to the twin villages of Wakefield and Teesdale, Rhode Island. And there in the nation's smallest yet most densely populated state, Fox and Warren will chat with volunteer firemen of the Union Fire District. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Clark Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Wakefield, Rhode Island.
We're in, and this is Hawk Fox Johnson.
And this is Warren Smoke Eater Hull. And here at the start of our program, Fox and I want to know how many of you are from the village of Peacedale. Now, come on, let's hear from you Peacedale folks.
Well, it sounds like mighty everybody here is from Peacedale. Let's see if there's anybody checked in from Wakefield. Let them have it, Wakefield. I guess you folks listening get the idea. It's a very lively bunch around these parts. And we've got a surprise or two scattered throughout our show for these typical Rhode Island firefighters. So let's let go, Warren. Let's get going on this. And who is your first volunteer fireman?
Well, he's an old-timer, Park. 30 years service in the Peacedale Fire Company is his record. He's 52, a bachelor, but he looks very well cared for. Hugh Fitzpatrick! If you get as close as you can, considering that down there.
Bay window.
For the microphone, yes. You live alone, Hugh?
I live alone.
You like it?
I like it.
Why?
Well, I'm my own boss. I go when I want to, come when I want to. And I want to take my shoes off at night and put them on a chair, I can do it. Nobody says you've got to put your shoes on and keep them on.
Well.
I listen to my radio and I enjoy it.
That's worth a lot.
It is to me.
Well, now, what do you do in your spare time? Saturday, for instance.
Well, I vacuum the rug, do a little dusting, all that, and what a housewife has to do, but I have no wife, so I have to do it myself.
You like it?
I enjoy it.
You do?
I certainly do.
Well, some woman is sure to want to get her hands on you. Where do you work?
I work at Peacedale Mill.
Making what?
Bushes and moons. Shooting for men and shooting for women.
Well, certainly, of course, glad to hear that they're on the way. Now, suppose the fire signal blows during the day when you're working over there. What happens?
Well, man upstairs, little brother fireman will come down and you stick up three fingers.
Why that?
Well, that's a fire signal. It's not the district fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or he will make a motion like this, pulling whistle.
Yeah.
When I get that signal, I give a hoot with the deputy chief. Worked in the same room as me, and then we stop.
You give a hoot. Why a hoot?
Well, let you know it's a fire.
What kind of a hoot?
Yay! Buddy!
Are we off the air, engineer? Well, Hugh, what do you do at fires, anyway?
Well,
I'm sure Bonnie got there all right. What do you do?
Sometimes I drive a truck. Other times I fire police.
Fire police?
Fire police.
What do you need with a fire police?
Well, that is keep the crowd back and keep cars back and keep the traffic going.
You mean people want to get up close to a fire?
Yes, they want to get up close to the fire and get in your way, and then they'll say, well, they saved the summer. After it's all over.
Oh, that's
other than that, why they don't find fault.
That's their only comment, huh? Well, now, have you always been a fire policeman?
About 2 years.
Well, really? You've been to some pretty big fires, haven't you?
Yes, the Imperial Hotel, Narragansett, Wesley, one in Wyoming. There's a mill burned down up there.
You don't mind, they're not really too bad on a cold winter night, are they?
Why, some of them you can get up there, you can't use any water, there's no water there to use. Mm-hmm. You can warm your stomach and freeze your backside.
You
then you turn around and you warm your backside and freeze your stomach.
Well, we got the idea. What's the most disappointing sort of call that you get, Hugh?
Well, the most disappointing call is day or night. It will be a small fire like a chicken coop, auditory, or some sort like that.
An auditory? I never heard of that.
Well, an auditory is what the firemen call is a small building in the rear of a large building.
Oh. We're learning things. Now, you had hand-drawn equipment and so on when you first started out?
When I first joined the fire company, I had a hose reel and wheels about 7 foot in diameter.
And you had to pull it everywhere you
I
wanted.
Had a man get in the shaft and push the apparatus until somebody come along with a truck and hook down to it and put it where he wanted it.
Well, now you...
Why'd I push it?
Now you can really do things with this modern equipment, can't you?
We got modern equipment, we get there real quick.
Well, you know, Hewitt said that next to war, fire does the greatest damage to this country. And by the way, we noticed that you have a Legion button in your coat there, so you've really served your country. Soldier and fireman. And Hugh, we want to thank you for sparking with us. And now Promo Seltzer has for you a couple of things we hope you'll like. First, a blue worsted double-breasted men's suit. I don't think you made the material, but it's very nice. And for these cold winter nights, a red all-wool bathrobe to lounge in and a sturdy walnut single bachelor's bed. You know, a single bed for a single man with springs and a Simmons mattress. Thanks. Good luck to you, Hugh Fitzpatrick. Okay, Park. Oh, I forgot something. Tony Cingrano. We have a little stunt here. Tony, where's Tony? Tony Cingrano is one of the volunteer firemen. He's supposed to be pretty fast getting out of his house in the middle of the night. Tony, come over here. How long does it take you? For instance, you're in bed and the whistle blows and you have to get up and get into your all of your stuff. How long does it take you to do this?
About a couple of minutes more.
Couple of minutes? Well, we want to see if you can better that. If you can, we're going to give you $25. Well, here's the deal. We've got that bed. Well, we'll take that bed right here on the stage. And now we want you to go backstage, get into pajamas, a robe, and so on, and get ready for bed. When we tell you, come on out when you're ready. Get into the bed. Later, we're going to ring that bell or the siren, and then we're going to put a stopwatch on you and see if you can better that 2 minutes in getting into all your fire clothes and reporting for duty. Are you game?
Game one way before the fire is in the dark.
All right, now you go on backstage and get ready. All right. Okay, Fox.
Okay, Tom. Well, we're going to find out about Tony in a minute. He's going backstage, and I, of course, see, we don't know what color the pajamas are. We'll tell you all about that later. Gee, this is a big man. Folks, we were surprised to learn when we got here that there are more volunteer firemen in the United States than there are paid firemen. The ranks of volunteer firemen are filled with businessmen, professional men, and workers from practically every known field. Now, here's a big newspaper man. I mean, he's 6'3" or thereabouts. He's the bureau manager of the Providence Journal. Let's find out what moved him to take up firefighting. We want you to meet him from Wakefield Volunteer Fire Company, Tom Doherty. Tom, how long have you been a fireman, volunteer fireman?
Just about 3 years.
You're a rookie then, aren't you?
Oh, that's they call it.
Yeah, you remember why you joined?
Well, it was a case of mutual necessity, I guess.
How you figure that?
Well, I, in my 7 years here.
As a newspaper man.
As a newspaper man, I had to go to the fires anyway.
Yeah.
And the fire trucks were going, so I figured it was just as easy to ride along with them and save my car.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Put a smart voice. And what about your newspaper paraphernalia? You had to carry that, too, didn't you?
Well, I found out, too, that the fire police, like Hugh Fitzpatrick was on just a minute ago, they'd always stop you at the roadway, and you had to carry a camera case up about a half a mile of dirt road. And being a rather lazy individual, I figured the fire trucks went in, and I went in with them.
So you rode right up to it, huh? Say, I got a hunch that maybe that annual clam bake these firemen pull had something to do with you getting in, didn't it?
Well, they put out a pretty good feed, Bart.
They do?
Yes, they do very well.
Say, now, for a fellow who doesn't know and never saw a clam bake, what is a clam bake?
Well, a clam bake, probably the most important part of it is the beverage.
Yeah, well, let's pass on. What about the clams? I thought that was the important part.
Oh, well, they come in handy.
They do.
They're incidental.
You mean?
But, they dig a hole in the ground and they heat the rocks. They put a layer of clams and a layer of sweet corn, a layer of, many other
potatoes,
things.
Sausage,
potatoes,
like
lobster. And by the time you get to the bottom of it, you feel pretty good.
So that's the clam bake. Something obvious I can see here, but I'm going to pass on. I understand that there are three types of volunteer firemen. What are they?
Well, there are three types, Parks. There's the meeting firemen, the firemen that actually go to fires, and the knife and fork firemen.
Knife and fork firemen.
Yes.
What are they?
Well, they're the fellows that show up for the clam bake.
I know you're a fighting fireman, but at the same time, I must comment that you look like you've done pretty well with a knife and fork.
I haven't missed many of you.
No. Well, what's your job at the fire? You hop out in the middle of the night, and you go to the fire, and what do you do?
Just stay out of the way as much as possible.
Yeah, but how do you get there? What do you ride on?
Well, they let me drive the brush truck because that's the slowest thing, and I
don't get it. Well, after all, you're a rookie, aren't you?
You don't wake up the wife and four young kids when you get out at 2 o'clock in the morning, do you?
No, they wake me up. I'm a pretty sound sleeper.
I'm just wondering if by any chance you've come from a long line of firefighters.
Well, it so happens that my father was a member of the Providence Fire Department for 40 years.
Is that so?
Yes, he was the battalion chief when he was.
Well, I hope he's listening to his big little boy right now down here in the Wakefield Volunteer Fire Department. We're glad to know, too, Tom, what a real clam bake is.
Well, I believe I will say it. We know from a radio standpoint what a clam bake is. We've taken part in many of one. And, Tom, from Bromo-Seltzer to convey their thanks and ours for you being with us tonight.
The little bird told us that you were going to need one soon, so Bromo-Seltzer has for you a DuPont Airlight Fabricoid Leather-Bound Wardrobe 2 Suitor. Look at it. You like that, sir? Huh?
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Then for Mrs. Doherty to mix things for the four little Dohertys, we've got a brand-new electric mixer, and for both of you and all of you, a brand-new portable plug-in radio. We hope you enjoy all of them. Thank you a lot,
Tom
Doherty. Seems there was this chap who was riding for a fall, says Carl Frank.
Yes, Parks, the rodeo's come to town, and out of the corral rides Bronco Bustin' Bill. Just listen to those spurs a-jingling.
Them ain't my spurs, partner. Them's my nerves a-jangling. Got a plaguey headache and a upset stomach to boot. Haul there, horse. Haul up. Don't give me more trouble than I got already. Here I go.
And again, headache got a good man down. Now, if he'd only tried Bromo-Seltzer.
Bromo-Seltzer, sure. But my nerves and stomach are kicking up, too.
That's just why I said Bromo-Seltzer. Bromo-Seltzer is the quick three-way relief from headache discomfort. Troublesome headache and those two dismal companions that may accompany it, upset stomach and jumpy nerves, take it on the double when Bromo-Seltzer takes over. So don't let headache throw a wet blanket on good times and good business. When headache strikes, hit back with quick-dissolving, quick-acting Bromo-Seltzer. Get a bottle from your druggist tonight and get set to...
Fight headache three ways!
Bromo-Seltzer, 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 Bromo-Seltzer.
Now, back in Wakefield, Rhode Island, with members of the volunteer fire companies of Wakefield and Peacedale, and... to recap a bit, Tony Cingrano is backstage. I hope he's ready now in his pajamas and robe and so on. He is going to get into bed, and when the alarm rings, we're going to see how fast he can get dressed and report for duty. I said, Tony, are you ready? Okay, come on out here. Climb in. Tuck him in bed, Park. There he is. Look at those beautiful red pajamas. He's tucked in and very comfortable. All right, now you stay right there until the alarm rings, Tony. And now, here is a firewoman along with all these firemen. She's a pilot, a former WASP, and present country girl. From Wakefield, Rhode Island, pretty modern Miss Ann Kenyon.
I'm a local yokel here, too, so I don't try to fool these people. I don't know.
No, I said you were modern. Should I have said that you're old-fashioned, too?
Well, I hardly know what you mean. You mean if you're referring to the construction of a new house and the airplane, that's modern?
Uh-huh.
Clam digger, too.
A clam digger, too. Oh, now, how long have you been around these parts?
Oh, from a long line of clam diggers, practically forever. Came from here.
Uh-huh. Well, it's mighty fine country. You fly with the civilian air patrol?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to state right here that they did a great job during the war. You were, of course, a WASP at that time.
Well, they certainly did a good job during the war. I'm kind of coasting with them now. When the big job's over, I come in and take the gravy.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your flying for the Rhode Island Forestry Service.
Well, that's really a very interesting thing. I get a big kick out of it. We use a small light airplane for that. We have it equipped with a two-way radio. And we fly it out all over the state during days of high fire hazard,
mm-hmm.
looking for fires. And then when we find the fires, we can direct the firemen to them. We can call for the local volunteer fighters like these here.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember one of the most interesting patrols you were ever on?
Well, we did have an awfully good one down here this year. You all probably remember the big fire up in the Burlingame Reservation. The trains were setting those fires inadvertently, not intentionally, of course, but Apparently, due to no maintenance on their engines at this time, they were just running along and dropping coals in this very dry area. And we had a great big fire going up there. It was really a hunting. In fact, three or four of them all at once. And all of a sudden, we saw a train come barreling down the track, and we could just see these fires starting right up behind it. So Mr. Jacobson, who was riding with me, who was the chief forester and usually the observer, hollered up to me to go down and fly alongside of that train. He wanted to look at it. And so we did that. We let down and buzzed along beside the train, and he had the number of that train before it could go another mile.
A little head chopping on your part, huh?
Yes, it was.
You maintain communication with the firefighters on the ground, then, do you?
We do. We have a two-way radio communication set up with them, and we can talk to all the rangers' cars and to the state house, and they can talk back to us, too.
Well, how do you show them where the fire is?
Well, on some occasions when we have a big fire going, there'll be a little spot fire over in back of it. And so I'll call them and say that there is a spot fire and give them a general location, and then we say we're going to buzz it. Good, legitimate buzzing. I pull the airplane up steep and then dive right on this little spot fire, and I try to pull up right over it.
Dive right into the fire?
Well, not exactly into it, no. Pretty close to it, and as we pull up, the firemen all around can look at it, and they'll see pretty well where it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can sit up there and then watch the progress of these firefighters, can't you?
Oh, you can indeed. You can. In fact, you have a marvelous picture of the whole thing. You can see a line that they've prepared. They're going to try to hold on a road or something like that. And then you can, by flying back and forth through it, you can see the fire coming up to this line that's already been prepared. Quite a thing. You can see every move. And when it stops, it's really something.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sound as though you like the job for more than the flying part of it.
Oh, I do. I like Old South County and all the state. I don't want to see it burn up. And great satisfaction in it.
Well. And you're doing a vital part to conserve it, all right. We want to thank you for taking us up on a patrol tonight. And Roma Seltzer has for you, you know those nice words, first, a 2.5-horsepower Evinrude outboard motor to take you fishing and duck hunting in your skiff. And for your Model A Ford, here's a never-failing horn. It's a 1910 model with a squeeze bulb. Squeeze it, Dave.
Just what I need.
You can use that for a goose call, too.
Couldn't be
also,
better.
Also, while you're jacking up the car to put the horn on, you can put on these 1, 2, 3, 4 tires. They're all in good shape and ration free, and so you can take to the road now. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
I don't believe it.
There they are. Okay, Paul.
Hey, as good ration free tires as I've ever seen. Come on, let my man through here, will you? Now comes the chief of the Union Fire District. Right in front of you, chief. Yes, sir, the chief of the Union Fire District, which embraces both Peacedale and Wakefield. And no one in these volunteer fire companies is paid, not even the chief. So he works for a living just like everybody else. Here he is, 34 years a firefighter. He's a little older than that, of course. Chief Clifford Wilbur. Chief, out of those 34 years, how long have you been the chief?
7 years. This is my 7th year.
7th year as a chief, and you were definitely a while ahead of that, huh?
11 years, sir.
Tell me, why do they call you Moog? Maybe I just better call you that and not ask, can you?
I think you better.
All right, Moog, we'll do that. Say, you do work where? Where do you work?
I work in the Peacedale Grading Company.
What's your job over there?
Manufacturer of narrow fabric.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you make?
Well, I make all kinds of elastics, underwear, garments, garters. Suspenders?
Well, do you make those things, you know, that sort of stretch?
Oh, yes, we make those, too. Two-way stretch.
Two-way stretches? We got you beat. We make a three-way deal that's, well, you know what it's for. The most firemen around Peacedale and Wakefield are here in the theater tonight. What suppose a fire should break out right now?
Well, we take care of that, too. We have two pieces of apparatus right outside the door. The operator will call here. The telephone operator will call here in case of a fire, and we're ready to go.
You mean all they got to do, the operator does warn you so that you go?
He warns us right here in the opera house.
This is one of those places where you pick up the phone, the fireman does, and he gets the location of the fire. Isn't that right?
Location, right.
How much equipment have you got around here?
Well, we got 6 pieces of apparatus, 2 750-gallon pumpers, 1 500. 2 brush trucks and a ladder truck.
That brush truck is what our big friend Tom Doherty was riding, huh?
That's right.
Say, do you go outside of the village?
Oh, yes, we go all over the town.
Well, of course, Miss Kenny was talking about going out and helping on those.
We go out in the outlying districts and we hop on the fire side, yeah.
And occasionally villages in the neighborhood or towns that might need it, huh?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, do you train rookies nowadays?
Yes, we do. They have a preliminary training they have to take now before they can get in as a member of the fire department.
Well, that'll mean less knife and fork men and more.
That'll cut out the social end of it too much.
So what is one frequent cause of fires in your district, would you say?
Well, I should say it's the old New England custom of storing papers and rubbish in their attics and cellars.
Ah, boy, these New England attics. How many antique collectors would like to get in there and prowl around? Maybe we'd better sort of ballyhoo that on fire prevention, and maybe we can get them to loosen up a little
bit. I think so, yeah.
That is a danger spot,
isn't
it?
That's right.
Another thing I'd like to ask you about, quite a bit of the fun in this volunteer fire business is the social side, isn't it?
That's right.
Uh-huh. You have meetings regular?
We have our regular meetings, you bet it.
How does a fellow get in? Does he have to apply?
No, they just come to the door and give a signal. They get in all right.
Oh, I mean in the first place. You have to vote on a man, don't you?
Oh, yes, that's right. For membership.
Chief, I mentioned the social side because I got something here I wanted to tell you about that in just a moment. You got a wonderful district here. We love this state with stone fences. Every time we come up here, we really are taken in with it. And this beautiful U.S. Scenic Route 1 that we live on. And we hope you're going to enjoy what Roma Seltzer has for you now. First, we've got a fine 17-jewel wristwatch. Can you use it?
You said it.
All right, now wait a minute. For cold nights on your way to a fire, because you won't need it after you get there, we've got this heavy fleece-lined zipper jacket. Is that all right,
Jim? Oh, boy.
And for Mrs. Wilbur, we've got a pair. That's two beautiful white North Star blankets. I hope she'll like those.
Thank you very much.
And through you, Chief Wilbur, we've got something for each of the women's auxiliaries, Wakefield and Peacedale. We know how necessary and valuable your women's auxiliaries are, and how they stand out there with coffee and food and long, stubborn fires, and how they hold socials and sales, raise money for their work. So, through the courtesy of our friend Mr. Sultan, who makes those Sultana nylon hose, here are two pair of Sultana's post-war nylon stockings, one pair for each auxiliary. We hope the ladies will get the most out of them. Thank you a lot,
Chief. Thank you very much.
Okay, Warren. Morning, noon, or night? On the hour, off the hour. When's the best time to have a headache call, Frank?
Name it and you can have it, Park. For my part, one thing's sure. Headache time is Bromo Seltzer time. Folks, when you feel that first twinge, turn to time-tested Bromo Seltzer for relief that prompts. Fast-acting Bromo Seltzers dissolve before you drink at time for quick action. And it works three ways. If that headache doesn't come alone, if upset stomach and jittery nerves are present, you get full benefit of Bromo Seltzer's three-way aid. Swiftly, head, stomach, and nerves begin to feel better. You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. But when ordinary headache threatens your day, try Bromo Seltzer, the split-second dissolving effervescent. Get relief how you want it, fast. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo Seltzer comes in four convenient sizes. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight and then... Again, in Wakefield, Rhode Island, in the community theater with a lot of fine people from Peacedale and from Wakefield, and a lot of volunteer firemen. And Tony Cingrano, you know, the fellow who was going to see if he could break a record of 2 minutes getting out of bed and getting into his fire clothes, resting very comfortably. And if he can break that 2 minutes record, he's going to get $25. If not, why, it's surely worth a five. Do I hear that alarm anywhere? Of course, those boots are there. And Uh-oh, there he goes. There he goes. One boot. Come on, Park. Tell him what's happening here.
Tony's in his boots. He's got his hat. Gee whiz. He's putting his pants on over. Come on up here, Tony. Put the hat on, and we're ready. Get that coat on there. How much time is it now?
25, 26, 28, 30, 32.
Where's the fire, he says. Okay, Warren. That's the way you go to a fire? Well, brother, you're ready for it. Raincoat, hat, boots, and everything.
Well, no wonder the Union Fire District here has one of the finest firefighting records of any in this country. Boy, they're really fast. Now, Rhode Island being about 62% forest, we want you to meet a man who lives in the woods and is vitally interested in saving them. Farmer, deputy warden in the Rhode Island Forestry Service, and fiddler extraordinary, 65 with a luxuriant white mustache and a twinkling eye, Squire William H. Webster. Squire, when the squire goes to the fire, who gives? The squire or the fire?
We give, the fire receives.
I see. So I'll bet it receives a lot. Say, when did you start fighting fires?
About 56 years ago.
You did?
Yes, about 8 years ago.
My God. Well, did you get burned?
Yes. Some.
A little closer here.
Burned the eyebrows off my face, twisted all the hair below my cap, and seasoned it. I was only a little kid, you know. I didn't know how to keep
it. It didn't burn the hair on your upper lip. I'll tell you that.
I hadn't started that.
What implements do you use now?
Oh, now we have a knapsack tank. It's too much better than stuff. You used to have to use shovels in. Now we have a knapsack tank.
You carry the water right through the fire, right? Well, how do you put it out with those?
Well, you see, we have a pump on those tanks, and to get the best results, if I get the water close to the ground, underneath the blaze.
Mm-hmm.
If I throw it on the blaze, it gets seized.
Has smoke ever laid you low?
Oh, yes. A few times.
Yeah. Oh, how do you get out of it? How do you save yourself?
Well, I get back to where the fire hasn't burned, dig up some leaves, scram my face into it, make me kind of a mask, get a few bucks, and come out of the wall.
Well, you're doing all right. Say, how do you feel? That's a good idea if anyone's ever out in the woods. Just don't forget what...
That really does work.
Sure. That might come in handy sometime. How do you feel about people who start forest fires?
Well, I feel that there should be something done with them. I tell them, and, you know, you feel as though that if you caught them at it, you put the leather to them.
You put the leather to them. Good way to put it. Well, the woods are really one of God's gifts to man, and, you know, if you could see them now in all their glory here in New England, you certainly wouldn't want them to burn down, I'll tell you. I want to thank you, Bill, for visiting with us. Now, Broma Seltzer has for you this 14-carat gold, 17-jewel Waltham pocket watch. The kind you've been wanting, we hear. And to give that other fiddle of yours rest, here's a fine-toned, beautifully grained violin with the bow, extra strings, bridge, and a hunk of rosin all in the case. And, now, wait a minute, to ease the strain on that mustache, there's an oversized mustache cup like Grandpappy used. Now, wait a minute, that's not all. You know, we asked you to bring your fiddle tonight so that you could give us a tune. Now, can you do that?
Certainly.
Well, how long...
I do.
Well, how long did you play?
Well, about 56 years.
56 years since you were a kid?
Oh,
how long
yeah.
did it take you to learn?
Well, I remember I sat on old Lang's line. It took me just a week.
Just
to play it.
The first one, huh?
That's the first week. Everybody sat on Lang's line those days. Everybody knew that, you know.
What was it? Was it hard to learn?
Well, after you get the first one, the second one comes easier.
Now, who's your accomplice tonight?
Mrs. Faustina Carr.
Are you a regular accomplice?
Yes. She's played me for probably 33 years.
I should say.
Back in the days of the organ, you know.
Oh, I see. Well, we have a piano for tonight. And by the way, we have also Charlie Fulford, your pal, to call the turn. Now, what's this tune going to be?
Portland Fancy.
Portland Fancy? That sure strikes me. Portland Fancy. Now, take that fiddle, and away you go.
There you are.
Go now, folks, and thanks to all you volunteer firemen of the Union Fire District for a busy and a happy weekend visit in southern Rhode Island. And from all of us, thanks to you volunteer firemen throughout this whole country.
Well, I just want to add my thanks, too, because it's been a wonderful weekend up here. And now about next week. Vox Pop goes back to the happy days of boyhood. We'll bring you a group of youngsters from the Boys Club of New York. That's going to be the 17th birthday party.
No, it's 70, Warren.
Oh, 70th birthday party for this lively covenant. Nor was that old. And, of course, a lot of famous men, whom you all know, came from that club.
And, folks, do us a favor. Tell a neighbor to tune in, too, won't you? Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit the Boys Club of New York on their 71st birthday. But remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast, and then...
Bye, headache! Three-way!
On behalf of the Emerson Drug Company, makers of Bromo Seltzer, and for your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull, this is Carl Frank wishing you a very pleasant good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.